Tom Weber on NPR News. More now on a sobering report that came out this week about children in Minnesota suspected of being abused or neglected. The number of such children grew last year by 25% over the previous year to nearly 40,000 cases. 40,000. More than half were in Hennepin County. That's where Jennifer DeCubilis is Deputy Administrator for Health and Human Services. Thanks so much for joining me. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
A lot of the focus here is on the fact that this increase can be tied in part to better reporting, in part just kind of an on-paper matter. But does that mean that there wasn't necessarily more abuse out there? This is just the number we should have been seeing all along?
Tom, that's a hard thing to really define based on how calls come in. But absolutely, anecdotally, what we've been able to identify with the increased volumes is that there is more awareness. So individuals with the media, just our general public, is more aware about how to report and that they should report. They shouldn't stay quiet when they're witnessing what may be maltreatment of children. So there is that more awareness. But there's also increased education for mandatory reporters. So mandatory reporters are school teachers, child care, individuals in our community that are in the professional healthcare realm. So with that increased education also comes increased volumes of report. And then we're seeing several other phenomenons. We are seeing some discussions between the state and the county over the past couple of years about what we are screening in versus screening out and trying to refine what does that look like. So we are taking in some individuals that previously we may not have taken in for child protection investigations as that clarification and that dialogue improves. So it's really that all those variations coming together that are influencing that increase in volume.
It still seems startling to me, and I understand all the nuance because there's so much nuance in that conversation, but it does seem that despite all that you said, that this really is a level that we're just getting better at identifying versus knowing whether there actually is a net increase in abuse.
Absolutely. And the numbers are startling. They're alarming. And they are not sustainable from a societal perspective. So in Hennepin County, we've looked back to 2009, between mm-hmm. so over the last 8 years. And we've seen our numbers of reports go from 11,000 reports to 22,000 reports in the last year.
You've doubled.
We have doubled. So we have 100% increase. We are seeing maltreatment findings at even a little bit higher rate, at 99%. Increase in maltreatment findings of that population. So what it tells me is we're not getting the wrong reports in. We are getting solid reports in and are needing to interact. But if you look at the numbers, it is bottlenecking throughout the system. So funding has not kept pace. Resources have not kept pace from a staff and a workload capacity. And we see downstream impacts. So, for example, that 100% increase in our reports has resulted in our adoption numbers. So the children available in Hennepin County for adoption is up 260% in that same time frame. So there are impacts all the way along. We've got more children waiting for permanent homes as well. So the impact isn't just on the maltreatment. It has costs and ramifications for children throughout the entire system.
Jennifer DeCubilis is with us from Hennepin County HHS, the county HHS office there. If you have a question for her, 1-800-242-2828, 651-227-6000. Before we go to what facilities are available and what treatments are available and what options are available, back up. Why? I get that we have a better sense of what the numbers are, but why is this happening?
That's a great question, Tom. I wish we could say why it's happening in the volume increase. But what we do know is the trends. The trends are it is high levels of mental health. So parents with mental health needs that are either being untreated or unaddressed, where their parenting capacity has diminished. We're seeing an increase in addictions. So the opioid crisis that is happening. There are new drugs in the environment, such as the opioids, that have publicly been talked about quite a lot. Those addictions result in parenting capacity greatly diminishing.
I mean, we've seen headlines, I don't think from Minnesota, but in other states, of what was it like, the mom and dad were found in the house, both dead of an overdose, and the kids were there just without parents now.
Absolutely. So the lethality of the drugs that are out there right now, the addictive nature, the ease of access in our communities are all compounding that. And what we see is we have kids that are more traumatized coming in. And because of those higher levels of trauma, they stay in the system longer. They're harder to place. We've got kids that need a lot more services and supports when they've experienced the types of trauma that we're seeing come in. Because what a lot of people think are extreme cases really aren't. They are the norm of what we're seeing in Hennepin County and across the state of Minnesota every single day.
What do you mean by that? To say that that's the norm is striking as well. What do you mean by extreme? Like, give me an example of what constitutes abuse that's now normal when people might think that's actually extreme.
It's not normal in what we expect in society.
No, I get that.
Yep.
I get what you mean.
But when people hear of the media cases and they go, oh my gosh, why would anyone, how would anyone do that? What I don't think they realize is the volume of those 22,000 reports that we field in absolutely have significant maltreatment for kids. And our push in Hennepin County is to say, instead of waiting for maltreatment to happen, how do we get better about identifying high-risk families? Build the right community supports in the system so that ultimately we're intervening early. So if we're seeing mental health and chemical health as a high driver to child maltreatment, how do we intervene with the adults that are struggling with mental health and chemical health much earlier so that we provide the right supports for their kids to thrive, for them to get the treatment and help they need? And as a community, how do we rally to not wait until that maltreatment happens, but really intervene earlier? Because now what you have is a kid that hasn't experienced the abuse is less likely to get pulled out of their home and has an ability to thrive. They stay in their same school. They stay in their same community. They have a relationship with their parents. And so that's really the upstream interventions that we're looking at instead of funding a crisis room model.
What is abuse? What is maltreatment? What constitutes it to the point where a service, county services like yours, would kick in?
It really is a safety issue for kids. Is this child, whether it's an infant, whether it's a teenager or youth, are they at imminent risk? So is it physical abuse? Is it neglect? Is it emotional abuse? Is there sexual abuse? All of those factors come into play. And what we always look at in the child protection system is, can we offer supports to the family that can keep that child in the family and safe? Or do we need to move youth out of that home environment? And are, you know, the growing cost of out-of-home placement, so we've seen a 65% increase in out-of-home placement, which means we're pulling more kids out of their homes. We are budgetarily in Hennepin County spending over $100 million right now. And that doesn't include the mental health treatment, the chemical health treatment, the health care. That is just in the child protection system. If you think about taking those dollars and investing them in what helps families thrive instead of investing those in removing a child after maltreatment, we think that's really the focus where we need to go in order to bring these reports down.
Hennepin is spending $100 million just on the day-to-day caseload of going in and reviewing whether kids should be taken out of a situation or not.
Correct.
More than half of these 40,000 from this report this year are in Hennepin, so I'm wondering if people listening will just assume this is Hennepin's problem and not necessarily a statewide problem.
Absolutely. So it is not a Hennepin problem. It is a statewide problem, and as a matter of fact, it's a national problem. If you look across the nation, there are states all over the place struggling with increased work volume, increased demand, budgets and resources that don't match the needs. So we have talked to our other counties in Minnesota, and we see that our trend is no different than any others. Our numbers are much greater, so the impact is huge. So, you know, a 60% or a 90% increase in a small county may be much lower of a budgetary number. In Hennepin County, with our sheer volume, it is unsustainable.
One of the things, there was this article last year about this in the Star Tribune, where that basically the article said you were on pace to hit 20,000, and you did. But it mentioned one statistic that there were about two dozen children who, through the process of finding that they were neglected or abused, were placed in a hospital. Was it the emergency room or the children's ward, and stayed there. That was then their home for weeks, maybe a month. And actually, one of the HCMC doctors said, hospitals are a very boring place for children to live in. But I mean, the point was, like, there was no place for those children to go because everything else is pulled so tight.
Absolutely. And we know out-of-home placement, pulling a child, no matter what's happening in that home, pulling a child out of their home is not good for kids. That is the trusting relationship that they have known, that they have grown up with. And we know out-of-home placement is not good for them. But to your example, we know the hospital is also not good for them. It's not a good use of our hospital dollars. And so we need to get kids in the right place at the right time. So the volumes that we're seeing increasing have stretched our shelter capacity. It has stressed our foster care capacity. We absolutely need more families to step forward and offer to foster these youth. Our biggest known for children that are successful is their education. We need to keep kids in their school so they don't lose credits, so they do graduate, keep them in their communities. And we have communities where we don't have foster care capacity, which does result in that backing up, unfortunately.
And to the point where if there even is a documented case, sometimes the children aren't actually removed. Sometimes they are kept in that house when, in a perfect world, they might not be.
At this point, we are not in Hennepin County leaving kids in homes where we think they are at imminent risk. But I will say it is a clinical decision that's really tough to make. So we can assess the risks. We can assess what types of supports do we need to put in. We had a medical example where it was medical neglect. We had a child that had significant needs, and the family was not able to meet those medical needs, and it was life-threatening for that child. One option could have been to remove that child, but we knew they were going to school, they were loved, they were engaged with the family, they were engaged with their neighborhood. So an example there was, if what we were concerned about from a safety perspective was the medical needs being met, then let's get our medical nurses into the home to make sure the medical care is taken care of on a regular basis, which is a better option for that child and the well-being of that child than removal would be.
How do you do this job with the same dynamic of knowing that there are pretty awful stereotypes out there for people who are living in poverty, and the conclusions people draw about whether those people are good parents? If you're impoverished, you're doing something wrong. It's your fault you're impoverished, and you're probably also a bad parent. How do you navigate that when there are then very legitimate cases of imminent harm and you have to act?
Absolutely, Tom. And I think that is that shame and that judgment is not helpful as a community. So I am a parent of three children, and I know how much I lean on my extended family, on my community, on my friends and neighbors to maintain that good parenting. What we need to realize is there are individuals that don't have that natural support system in their lives and have additional hurdles. So if I am struggling to make ends meet, to keep a roof over my head, to get my kids to school because I don't have reliable transportation to feed my children, all of those life stressors make what is already hard parenting that much more impossible. So as a system, we're really looking at, are we setting up barriers for individuals in being successful? So in Hennepin County, we're looking at, how do we bring our adult system as close to these families, not just our child protection system? Because it's not just about keeping the child safe. It is about removing the stress that is causing the maltreatment to begin with. So what's the root cause? And if it is somebody who needs a pathway to employment, because that's the stress in that family that is resulting in the maltreatment, then let's not just protect the child, but let's give that adult the services and supports to get that pathway out of poverty.
You know, there were recommendations when the state report came out this week about when the news came out about these numbers, and some of the recommendations they said that that can be done to get at this is setting an example by being nurturing and patient with children, encouraging parents to exercise or spend time with friends to relieve stress, or offering parents a break by encouraging them to rely on their family members and friends who can help. Aren't those kind of head in the cloud recommendations when you actually face the reality that some people actually face? I mean, people who are middle class or upper class might have these systems in place, but not everyone does. And I read those recommendations almost as potentially in some cases as pretty tone deaf. Do you?
I don't. I would say that there is a much larger system of services and supports that absolutely are available, and we need to make sure they are easily accessible. And, you know, I would argue that we don't want to put people into programs. We want to wrap supports around families and around children that are unique to their needs and address their needs. But I would compare that quote in that report to what we do for our elders. So if you think about when there is a big snowstorm, the number of people that go out and help shovel a senior's walkway or a driveway, or we check on them in high heat instances. What we don't do is we don't check in on new parents that same way. We might bring a basket over, we might bring a gift over, but we don't check on new parents of how is it going? Do you need a break? Are you getting enough sleep? Would you like to go grocery shopping and we could help with your kids for a period of time? There is a societal response that says parenting is for the parents and we're not going to get involved. And what we're saying as a society is we might be able to prevent some of this maltreatment by more of us getting involved and offering that help and that assistance. Government alone, if you look at these numbers and these dollar amounts, government alone will not solve maltreatment in Minnesota.
Final question for you. The task force that's been looking into this, by the way, this dates back in part to a Star Tribune investigation, really, really important investigation that got a lot of state policy leaders and elected politicians looking at this problem as well. Lawmakers have done some stuff. And there was this task force. And frankly, the counties have come in for criticism as not putting the needs of children first. Is that fair?
Absolutely not. So I think if you look at the numbers, that's what's startling. We are not going to regulate our way out of this. We don't need more regulations on top of counties. We need to support families differently. We've shown, based on the volumes, based on the dollar spend, this is an unsustainable system. And so the auditing, you know, auditing counties to see where they're failing, we can tell you we're failing. We know we're failing. And where we're failing is when your caseloads are double the national standard, you can't expect workers to have the quality that they all want to have. These are strong workers. They're in this, it's a tough job. They're in this business for the right reasons. They care about kids. But we have put up barriers that make their jobs impossible to do it well. So on any given day, workers are in a really tough position of balancing the priorities. And safety of our kids needs to be a priority. And they go home at night and they say, you know what, we're struggling to balance our own family's needs. We're worried about, did we make the right decisions today? Did we get in front of the right people? I would compare it to emergency departments. So in an emergency department model, you have a diversion option. So if the emergency room gets too many cases in and they get flooded and it's beyond their resources,
send them somewhere else.
You can divert to a hospital. In child protection, when our volumes go up 99%, there's nobody to divert them to. Every single one of those kids needs and deserves our attention. What we need to do is support the workers to say what is broken and not working is the system, which is why in Hennepin County, we are looking to change the system. How do we get upstream? How do we invest in families earlier and differently? So that ultimately over time, what we're doing is shrinking the number of cases that truly come into child protection, because that's not where we want to invest. We don't want to invest after maltreatment happens. We want to invest in families being successful to begin with.
Jennifer DiCubiela, sorry about that, is with the Hennepin County Health and Human Services Department Deputy Administrator there. DiCubiela, thank you so much for being here. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Tom.